Okay. Now should I start a new recording?
Nah.
No. Fine. Okay.
It's all good.
All right.
All right. Hi. We're actually recording ourselves recording a podcast.
We're recording ourselves.
We're a couple of dorks.
Twice, yeah.
I know. I love it.
This is narcissism, and it's great.
It is. We're so cool. We should definitely catch it on film. Yeah. Okay. Well, that's what happens when you pay marketing people. They tell you to be really fucking narcissistic.
Yeah. How do you feel? How does that feel? Do you like it, or do you feel like you're forcing it upon yourself?
It feels a little like I'm forcing it upon myself, but I know that it's important because I really do have the goal of like reaching more people, mm-hmm. you know, so that's, it just like comes with it. Right. I mean, well, you know, you are your package.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I still feel weird when I like say, hey, watch me on this show on this day on this network. I didn't feel that way about You're the Worst because, you know, I was on it a lot and I liked the show a lot. But yeah. I feel weird like, hey, I'm on a procedural. Check it out.
An industrial. Yeah. Hey, if you guys are going to stop by Amgen, you might want to check out my industrial.
I never do that with commercials. Unless the commercial is hilarious.
Right.
Then I might
like the Progressive commercial on the motorcycle. It was pretty funny.
Oh, the motorcycle. Shit. Yeah, people like that one. Yeah, yeah.
That was funny cool. shit. Yeah. I really liked it.
Yeah. And she was on Makes You're the Worst, chuckle. Too. So I really? Felt like it was a You're the Worst.
Ooh.
I posted that one because people who watch You're the Worst would be like, oh, they're both on. That's crazy.
That's crazy. How did they both get cast at the same time? Cool.
Yeah.
Okay, so we never really told people what they're listening to.
Yeah, what are they listening
this
to?
This is MILF Talk. Make your life fabulous. That's incredible. And whether you are single, married, divorced, with children, or somehow all of the above, we are here talking to you about life, love, relationships. And Todd's here, so we have to talk about sex, too. Because
yay, I had sex. Wait, I don't even remember.
Yes,
what?
Ladies and gentlemen, that's Todd. Yay.
Oh my God, yeah. It's been a while.
That's what I'm hoping ultimately. Okay, so like now we're just being tangential and I need to let people know what the hell we're talking about.
Yeah, yeah,
like,
yeah.
Okay, so I'm doing this big event that I just decided to do.
Yeah, that's crazy.
And I know it's a little bit crazy. I rented the Alex Theater for February 3rd, 2018.
Where's the Alex Theater?
In Glendale, California.
Glendale.
So if you are anywhere in the Los Angeles area, you can get to Glendale. It's the day before Super Bowl. I made it a one-day event because I'm not missing Super Bowl.
No, I know you would. My Lord.
So, but the karaoke reminded me because I'm thinking next time I'm hoping it'll be a two-day event. We can get some karaoke. We can get everything going. Anyway, so, but this is what it is. It's a one-day relationship workshop to help you move from fear to love in relationship. So whether you're single or coupled or married or polyed or whatever the hell you are, as long as you love and you want to love, you are welcome.
What if I want to move from love to fear in my relationship, then back to love?
Then you need a different teacher. Yeah. Well, I mean, sometimes we have to make room for the fear.
Yeah, yeah.
So, like, I mean, there is something to be said for that. So like, sometimes you have to acknowledge the fear and be aware of the fear and make room for the fear so that you can just let it dissipate instead of being in resistance to it all the time.
Yeah.
Right? Because when you're in resistance to something, you're actually like holding it up.
You know what? I think that's why when I catch a cold.
Yes.
Because I caught Hillary's cold like 2 weeks ago. And I always get it way worse than she had it.
Mm.
Like I get way more congested. I'm more of a mess.
Yeah.
I'm miserable for longer.
Yeah.
And I think it's because I resist it for so long.
Yeah.
As opposed to just letting it.
Just let it go through you.
Let it
and
go
like,
through.
Yeah. Well, that'd be an interesting.
Like, no,
little,
I'm not getting sick. Yeah,
that would be an interesting little experiment. If you're like, hello, virus, do what you need to do. And you're welcome. And then please leave when you're done.
I don't know. Just, it's so.
That's scary as fuck, though, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah. It's, I don't
it's
worry,
like,
yeah.
I don't know. I don't know if I want to give it all that.
I don't know if I want to be submissive to a virus. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, that's what the music element is for my event is that I've actually hired a pianist and I'm actually going to sing.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. So I'm actually, but I'm not doing it because I want everybody to like walk out going, gosh, she's such a great singer. I want to buy her album. I don't give a fuck. I may be in good voice that day. I may be not. I don't know.
It's the
spirit of it, because music, like everything from, you know, Ella Fitzgerald to Alanis Morissette, we've experienced songs and lyrics and even full albums, you know, that allow us to kind of indulge our emotions and like just be in the space of it, right?
Right.
And again, instead of being in resistance to it. Right?
Yeah. Alanis Morissette embraced how pissed she was at that guy from Full House.
That's right.
And she sang about it.
And she sang about it, and everybody listened and played it over and over again because they're like, yes! Fuck you! I hope you're thinking about me when you fucker! Like, that's like where they were, you know?
Yeah,
and they're like,
yeah.
Oh, somebody said it. And somebody said it for me.
Yeah.
You know? Now, I might be singing a little bit lighter lyrics. You
sure.
know? Like...
Because you don't go down on people in the like, backs of theater, like,
not
like a crazy
I don't sing
person.
About it, if I do. but, you know, it might be something more like, you know, Cry Me a River.
Sure, sure.
With same theme.
Yeah, yeah. The Joe
Ish.
Cocker version?
No, probably more of a Nancy Wilson, Ella Fitzgerald kind of girl.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, yeah. You're going to go with the classics.
Yeah, yeah. I'm going to well, one, it's an Art Deco theater. And by the way, people, I'm not going to just talk about myself all day. Like, we're going to get to a Q&A. I've got some shit to answer.
I don't mind. You can talk
I know,
about
I know. You're
all
so
day.
Nice. But my friend Todd is so nice. He'll talk to me all day about me. He's the best. This is why we're friends.
You actually don't really know anything about me.
I don't know anything just about listen. Him. I don't even know his wife's name. Like, I never ask him shit about himself or how he's doing or anything. He just talks to me about me and makes me feel special. So, no. So, yeah, we'll get to that. But I'm excited. Okay. I had no intention as of like probably 7-8 months ago. Wouldn't have occurred to me that I would be doing this. And it was like way off. Like, I kept thinking about it way off. And then when I like saw, actually it was Kyle Cease, so I saw him do a workshop at the Alex Theater. I was like, oh, theater, that's fun.
Oh, okay.
Like, because I'm not really like a retreat center gal. You know what I'm saying?
Like in Bob and Carol and Ted and Alice.
I'm not so much a retreat center gal. And maybe someday I'll do that. But there was something really cool and exciting about the idea of being in a theater.
Mm-hmm.
Because it feels like home to me. Like, I spent so much of my time in theaters.
Right,
you know,
right.
That, like, that feels normal to me for some reason. Like,
so
like,
seeing somebody else in a theater,
yes.
in this same theater,
yeah,
is
in
what
the same
inspired
theater.
You
yeah,
to...
Yeah, like, yes. And he was, you know, it was a workshop. You know,
mm-hmm.
it was like a Kyle Cease doing Evolving Out Loud. Really, like, he's a comedian turned transformational speaker. It just made sense to me. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, okay. And mine's like slightly more structured because I've actually hired a pianist. His name is Daniel, and he's super cool.
More structured than the one you saw?
Than the one I saw, yeah. Than, like, his thing. But because mine is super, like I'm focused on relationships, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it is, you know, about evolving and moving from fear to love and, like, in your choices and in your decisions. But I really like to help people apply that to their real-life relationships, right? Because it's, like, really cool if you know how to be in a place of love. About the world and about everybody, but that doesn't fucking help you when your boyfriend's not texting you back.
Yeah, it does.
Right? It does and it doesn't. If you don't, people feel like I can manifest my job, I can manifest money, I can manifest my health, I can manifest this, but when it comes to love and relationships, they're like, somebody else is involved there. I can't control that person and their will, and all guys are this way or all girls are this way.
Yeah.
And they don't feel like their intention, they don't trust that their intention actually matters in the seeking of their relationship or the maintaining of their relationship, right?
Yeah.
So so that's where this event is really focused on relationships, whether you're looking for one or whether you want the one you're in to remain or get healthier, remain healthy or get healthier, like be right. able to expand in relationship.
Right.
So I'm excited.
Yeah, because in a relationship, you never stop running at each other, you know? You never stop working at it.
Right.
Because you guys are changing as individuals.
Yes.
So your relationship has to go with that.
Yeah.
That's why I never liked that Billy Joel song. I like you just the way you are.
Yeah.
I want to change with you.
Oh,
that's the way.
See, but that's why you've been married as long as you have, and you're still hot for your wife.
Yeah, exactly.
Seriously, that's like that's it, and that's what people always look at, I think, and they go, you know, they're just lucky, they're just soulmates, they just happen to find the right person, and I really think it's about being willing and courageous enough to be in relationship without guarantees, you know? And that's why the workshop's actually called Loving on the Edge. Because if you take the old paradigm of marriage, which is actually really based on like ownership and property and safety within that, mostly to protect the male's property. Mm-hmm. And if you look at that as the paradigm with which we built it on, it's sort of like the telephone, right? Is the basis of like why we even call a cell phone. But right, at this point, it's got fucking nothing to do with the telephone wire.
Right.
But it did, like, create the initial paradigm of, like, hey, we don't have to be in the same room to talk.
Right. Right? Right, yeah.
So, gosh, that was really smart. I just came up with that.
That was really good. It was a good metaphor. Very good metaphor. Well done.
Thank you very much. Thank you. So, if you... if you look at the paradigm of marriage and where it is now, it's almost like not appropriate or not relevant or whatever to what we've evolved to as far as men and women in relationship and why we even choose relationship.
Right.
I mean, ultimately, we choose relationship for joy.
Right. But you're saying there with marriage specifically, mm-hmm. there's still, because it used to be, like you said, to protect property or whatever.
Yeah.
So there would be a pressure to get married
for
the wealth, for survival.
Yeah.
Whereas now that we don't need marriage for literal survival.
Yeah, women are allowed to
work. It becomes this pressure to have a romantic, perfect, fairy tale a marriage. Like,
yes.
That's where the pressure is.
Yes, and also I think we naturally seek, you know, a partner for our expansion, right?
Sure.
But I also think that we seek it kind of so hard and we need it so desperately to be the same person over time because we're so isolated.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we don't even live in multi-generational households anymore. You literally have one person raising all the babies.
I don't think that's a bad thing.
No, it's not a bad thing. I sure as hell don't want to live with my family. I mean, let's be honest. I mean, let's be honest, okay?
Sure.
But part of the reason that we don't all want to live with our families is because we are also kind of expanding in thought, in, you know, from those generations. Like, we have been feeling this need to not kind of absorb the older mm-hmm. point of view and way of thinking, and we want to expand and we want to see things differently. And I think that our physical state of being as far as like our living situations is a reflection of sort of our desire to be like, no, I need to expand in my own power,
mm-hmm.
right? Because when you live in a multi-generational household, we know the power comes right from the from the top down,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, exactly.
And so it's a different thing. It's like you feel like you're living in a box, both physically and emotionally.
Yeah.
Right? And ideologically, you can't really expand beyond your grandparents' point of view and feel okay about that and feel empowered by that when you're surrounded by people who are hanging on to the past.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So I think that I agree with you. I think that this is all part of an attempt for expansion, but I think it's also created, like, we have very little belonging, you know? As humans, we're like really, really seeking belonging and community and like our tribe. And so we look to one person to fill that.
Yeah.
And sometimes in a great relationship, it kind of feels like you have found that.
Sure, but yeah.
If I were to look at my own relationship, I also feel like the some of our parts mm-hmm. kind of has also expanded our village because of who we are together.
Well, you mean in like your friends and intermingling yeah. of friends and extended family even yeah. and all that? Yeah, sure. Yeah. yeah. And work people and all that.
I mean, fortunately for you, you have a likable wife. So, you know, you have,
yeah.
Like,
yeah, I don't.
Good really, move.
I don't have to do anything.
Thank God.
Yeah. She charms everybody and I just sit next to her and
you
wave.
You just sit there and look pretty.
Hey. Hi. She is great, isn't she?
She is awesome. How did I land that, huh?
I don't know.
I must be cool.
I'm all right. Not going to talk too much because I don't want to give it away.
Hillary's on the other side of the room rolling her eyes.
Yeah, exactly.
That's not true. I've caught her looking at you adoringly. I've caught her.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, so I think that I got to remember how did we get to here? Now we're talking about tribes and isolation and
belonging. Well, that's what your seminar is going to be about. There was, it's called Loving on the Edge,
yeah,
which,
yeah.
by the way, I assume that one of the songs you will sing is Aerosmith's Living on the Edge, but replacing living with loving on the edge. I'm loving on the edge. Come on. That would be awesome.
You can do it.
I can't sing Steven Tyler. It's too high.
You can do it.
A lady?
I think you should
ladies,
come up and sing.
No.
Yeah. That's actually something I'm really hoping that will happen is that somebody might want to come up on stage and, you know, talk about their heartbreak song or heart sing song and maybe even sing it for us.
Oh, wow.
I mean, it is Los Angeles. I mean.
That's true.
I mean, there's stage whores all over the place, right?
I always regret when I do karaoke picking like one of the heartbreaker kind of songs
you
that
do.
I like. Well, one, I don't have the kind of range generally
okay.
to sing those songs.
Right. So it's a performance issue.
Yeah. It's yeah, yeah it makes me feel
it's not because
like
it
I'm
just...
ruining the thing I love.
Oh.
You know?
Oh, so, I see. Like, so you don't, oh, because it's like something that you,
yeah.
you enjoy and then you go fuck it up by singing it.
Yeah. yeah. And if it's
yeah,
a, if it's an up-tempo, just fun song, mm-hmm. you know, then I can just make a fun show out of that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not really, you know, you can
Neutron
sing Neutron Dance,
for example.
And that people will enjoy it. It's
you guys,
fun.
And you really should hear him sing Neutron Dance.
I'm a big Pointer Sisters fan.
I know it.
There's nothing I can do about it. They're great.
I don't think you should do anything about
no,
it.
I'm not.
No.
No, I'm not.
Oh, we were going to do a little Q&A.
Oh, you got questions from
I do,
people.
I do. I got shit.
That's cool. Do you want to bring that over closer? And put it down over here.
Are you hitting on me?
No, 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 my lord,
my Wait. Lord,
my god, no,
my god.
I am a professional.
Oh, behave. So, these are just some things that have been emailed to me. So let's see. Do-do-do-do. I slept with a guy on a second date. Is that too soon? He seems to still be into me, but all of my friends think it was way too soon and that he won't respect me. Is that true? Is he going to get over me quicker because I didn't hold out?
What?
See, guys think this issue is crazy, right?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, I slept with a guy on a second date. It lasted, well, we're in our 10th year.
There you go. There
so,
you go.
No, I mean, no. This is actually a really
first date for me.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah. First date.
Yeah, and they've been married for a long ass time.
Yeah,
no, I actually I know a lot of people that have slept together on the first date and gotten married. That notion is let me reverse the logic if I can. Okay.
Go.
If I sleep with him on the first or second date, he won't stay interested in me. Okay, so then the reverse logic is, if I wait till the fourth or fifth date, he will stay interested in me. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, that's the reverse
yeah.
logic. The reverse logic here is that if he was just after you for sex, but you waited, that he will somehow change his intentions with you.
Right.
Right? Okay. Basically, I mean, more likely than not, what would happen is if that is his intention with you, is just to sleep with you, like let's say he's a total player, which I would hope that you would have more than one red flag going off in your head if he was a total player.
Right.
Then you probably wouldn't even make it to a fourth or fifth date without sleeping with him.
Well, yeah. I mean, right? That's what he's in. So, yeah.
If you really don't think that your instincts are good about people, or if you're really, really worried about that, then yes, go ahead and wait until the fourth or fifth date. If he's still going out with you, he's probably pretty interested in who you actually are.
It's not just about sex.
Right. Again, it still might not turn into a long-term relationship or a marriage.
Right. Right. Right.
So.
Well, and, you know, sometimes you can be great friends and not be physically
attracted
good
to
together.
Each other. Yeah, or good to each other. Yeah, like good.
I was like, yeah, you don't want to wait too long. Because
I mean, well, okay, that's a personal, I agree with you. I mean, that's a personal preference or opinion, or, and for some people it's a religious and moral thing. But yeah, I personally feel like if you don't know how you are together sexually, you are leaving an enormous, you're leaving
a big part of it.
You're leaving an enormous chunk of what makes a relationship last to complete chance.
Yes, I agree.
Yeah.
I agree.
So that's just my feeling about that situation. So, because I believe that our, the sexual part of your primary love relationship is what makes it different and unique and precious and special compared to your other relationships, right? It's all part of that, that person being the person that you express your sexuality with, which is a big part of a big facet of someone's personality and spirit and soul. I think it is personally.
And another way to communicate.
Another way to communicate. Exactly. For so many men, that is their primary love language, right? So in answer to that, your friends are assholes for saying that, because it's not like you could take it back. So like, oh, you screwed up. You slept with them too soon. Take it back. Like,
it
that's
sounds
not cool.
A lot like slut shaming to
me. It is a little bit. I think so too. I think it's a little like, oh, you shouldn't have done that. You blew it. And it's like, okay, you weren't there. You have no idea, like,
yeah,
how the evening was going, how the chemistry was. Like, did it feel like a completely natural and appropriate thing to do for you? If that's the case, then you have to trust that on some level in yourself, yeah, right? You're a grown-up girl. You can make your decisions.
Have we learned nothing from George Michael?
And again, there's this whole thing in this of, you gave him something. He gave you something too.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm hoping it was good sex for you.
Man.
It sounds like you want to go back for more. So that's great news.
Maybe just to get it right.
But there's this still this sort of transactional belief there of sort of like, I gave him this too soon.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, then you're really making an assumption about this guy that he's just there to get something from you.
Right.
Right?
As opposed to just wanting to hang out.
Yeah, maybe he just wants to be with you and get to know you. And that's a good thing that he's sexually attracted to you.
Yeah.
So I think that there's so many long-standing paradigms that leak into that whole question, mm-hmm, right? Of like, I'm giving him something, he's taking something from me. I mean, do you think he's at home wondering if he slept with you too soon?
Probably not.
Probably not.
I mean, maybe.
Maybe. He might be like, oh, maybe I'm, you know,
she thinks I'm a slut.
Yeah. Or, I mean, I suppose he could be saying like, you know, maybe I should have, you know, gotten to know her a little more or something. I don't know. But he's probably not thinking about it. He's probably just thinking about, when can I make that happen again?
Yeah, that was great.
Yeah,
I want to do that again.
Yeah, like, so... So yeah, make sure that you, but make sure that you go out, make sure that you go do things together. I mean, if it turns into like, let's Netflix and chill all the time and you're only a couple weeks into this, then yeah, you've gotten yourself a friend with benefits, but that could have happened if you waited 4 or 5 dates to sleep with him. It really doesn't matter.
Right.
So because a friend with benefits, it is rare for the dynamic in that situation to turn into something more serious. It just is. And there's like, that's a whole other, we could probably do a whole podcast on that. But if you want this to be a relationship, then treat it as such. Don't say yes to Netflix and chill if you guys haven't like gone out and had an experience together. I'm not saying he has to like go out and spend a bunch of money on you or whatever. I'm saying like, hey, let's do things and, you know, go bowling, go play darts, go for a hike, go for a walk, do things that are really about the two of you getting to know each other.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
And if he's, and if he wants to do that,
great.
Then that's your answer. It really doesn't matter if you slept with him.
Yeah.
First date, second date, whatever.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
There you go. And there's a XY chromosome in the room, and he agrees.
I agree. Totally. So, there you yeah. go. Don't feel bad about right. Having sex on the second
and,
date.
And he identifies as male. And, yeah. Okay. So, yeah. Sorry. Wait, I gotta cover my. I gotta cover all.
Identify as male. I'm a heterosexual.
Yes. Yes, and that is our POV. And if you don't, if it's, it doesn't fit for you, that's all good too. So, okay, Next question.
What do we got?
Well, okay.
I hope it's even more explicitly about sex.
This is from a man.
Oh.
I'm 38 and married with 3 children. My wife is always too tired and overwhelmed by our children to give me any attention.
Oh.
What am I doing wrong? Well, I think it's sweet that you asked what you're doing wrong.
That is sweet.
I know, right? I mean, there's something in you that's probably saying like...
yeah.
Something I'm doing is not working. Yeah, she's tired and overwhelmed by the kids and... helping with the kids, it shouldn't even be help. Actually, I hate to use these terms. It's very difficult because it's such a sensitive subject, right? That everybody gets like, he's not helping. He's just being a dad. Why is that help? Why is it my job? You know, there's this indication in the linguistics of it, like this indication that like, it's my job and you're helping me with my job.
I see.
Right?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
So that's not.
So it's like, oh, it's such a sensitive subject.
Yeah.
I hang out with mom sometimes, as you can tell. So, ask her what she needs. Mm-hmm. Okay. There is overwhelm. I would say this. If you can bring it up in a way, this is a tool that I use a lot with people, is this I notice, I imagine. Now, I notice that you need to go to bed at such and such a time before we've really had any time to spend together or connect. I guess that's almost a, that's actually not concrete. But I notice you have to go to bed at this time. And that you're not up, that we're not having much conversation. How about that, right? That's right. Concrete, okay?
Mm-hmm.
We're not having much conversation or sex, if, you know. But, so I notice this, all right? I imagine it's because you're pretty tired and overwhelmed by the kids.
Mm-hmm.
Is that true,
mm-hmm.
right? Because now she can say, no, it's because I'm going to bed at 10 o'clock because I don't want to talk to you because I'm pissed at you for what you did at my parents' house last week or whatever. I don't know. So
what did he do?
I don't know.
God,
I don't know.
I've got the parents' house?
I've got a wild imagination. So you can start from there. All right?
Right.
And then you can say, so when we go to bed at 10 o'clock and we really haven't had a chance to talk, I feel this way. Okay. Mm-hmm. So when this happens, then I feel this way. And what can I do to help? What can I do to help, you know, to make it so that you're not so overwhelmed? What can I do for you?
Right.
And I'm sure she'll probably have some answers.
Yeah.
And she might even have a hard time receiving that. She might be like, nothing. It doesn't matter. Like, I don't, you know, because there's a fear that if you do the dishes for her, now she's going to be obligated. You know what I'm saying?
It can't
turn into, I did the dishes. I lightened your load. Let's have sex. You know what I mean? It just has to be.
That's why Hill doesn't respond well every time I say, hey, I just did the dishes. Let's have sex. That's why.
It doesn't go over well.
No.
No. Sorry.
You learn something new every day.
Yeah. No. Then it's like you do the dishes and you say like, you know, what else can I do?
Yeah.
Basically.
What else
if you know that she's tired and overwhelmed, right? And the husband can be tired and overwhelmed too from work, right?
Sure.
But here's, okay, well, I'm gonna like venture into like broad shit here. Okay, so here's part of the problem on the planet.
Oh wow.
Now, when I say masculine, I don't mean man like. Okay?
Okay,
I mean masculine or yang or whatever. And I know there's a million different interpretations of yin yang and blah blah blah. Just work with me, people. I'm going to talk about masculine energy as giving. Linear, problem solving. There's other words that are not coming to me because I wasn't prepared to have this conversation. Okay. And protective, you know, providing, right? Protective, providing, giving, linear. Okay. And then you've got feminine energy, which I'm not saying is woman-like. I'm saying it's feminine energy, yin energy, is receptive, fluid, playful, nurturing. our whole planet, like on a big global level, really values the masculine more, right? Mm. All of the technology, all the masculine energy in our planet and the feminine energy, hopefully rising a little bit, right? We're hopefully getting more into that than the nurturing and the receptivity and the caring. So if you're in your work, let's say you don't have like a creative line of work, right? Like let's say one of the couples that I know, client and her boyfriend, he is an engineer, right? Mm-hmm. So he's in that thinking all day long. The day is very structured. No cell phones allowed, nothing. Like it's super, super structured, right? Mm-hmm. Monday through Friday, you know, 5 a.m., 7 p.m., right? Mm-hmm. So when it comes to the weekend, he struggles because he wants it to be loose. Like he wants it to be fluid. He doesn't want any schedules.
Right, you know, right, sure. Yeah.
And so, and you can see how that makes a lot of sense. Well, what we forget is that when women are giving and nurturing, that's actually also that giving, doing, protecting, providing, that's masculine energy.
Right,
they're
right.
in it all day too, right?
Right, right.
And women really struggle because, again, that's what's valued, right?
Right.
Making money, solving things, doing things, schedules. We're supposed to have our kids extremely structured. We're supposed to have everything. That's when you're doing it right.
Right, right, right.
Okay?
Right.
So to be fluid and receptive is actually, some of the work that I do with women, when they learn to stop running the relationship, doing and scheduling and figuring everything out and doing more giving and let me do your laundry and let me do this.
Right, right.
They need to like back up and be receptive so that in the romance level,
right,
there can be a masculine and feminine, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the problem is you still have this lack of nurturing for both people. Both people have been in their masculine all day. Right. And then you come home and then like say my client who really likes to have everything in her planner and know what's going to happen for the weekend wants to plan their fun.
Oh, right.
And I'm like, you're going to have to loosen up. Yeah, basically, I'm like, you're going to have to loosen up, you know.
Yeah.
And it's really a struggle around the holidays. Right. Because everybody's sure. got family this right. There's 18 places to be.
Yeah.
So allowing each other fluidity mm-hmm. when we're not at work or in the day is actually how we can create more space for romance, for joy and playfulness in the relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And what the hell was the question? Like, oh, the guy, yes, with the guy with the wife.
What was he doing wrong?
Well, he too, like part of what he's craving, that attention, right? Attention, probably like laughing, maybe going out, maybe sex, mm-hmm. you know.
It's probably mostly sex he's talking about.
Yeah, I mean, of course it is. Of course it is. But you know, I'm sure that he'd love to have a good belly laugh with his wife.
Sure,
too,
sure,
right?
Sure,
you know?
Yeah.
And so if you're talking about that, that's actually like I'm craving. It's funny because sex, even though it's like this sort of like it's men are in their masculine when, you know, sex is their love language, they're in their masculine. It's almost like this perfect balance of masculine and feminine because it's playful, it's free, it's fluid, it's right. And so that's when you feel the most like alive and complete. And a lot of men will describe sex that way. It's when I feel the most alive and complete,
right?
Because you're in both your masculine and feminine.
Mm-hmm.
And so here he's got his wife who's like depleted, and women have a real struggle like switching and actually allowing themselves to be helped,
mm-hmm.
to be served in any way, because it's much more valued if you can handle everything.
Sure.
I got it all. I got it handled.
I'm
perfect mom. I got this mom shit down, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so it's vulnerable and challenging for women to even though they crave it and desire it and want it, to even make room for it.
Right.
Right? You know, to make space for it and say, I'm going to let you come to me. I'm going to let you do for me. So the question, like if he goes to his wife and he says, what can I do for you? She might struggle with it, actually.
Yeah.
And so there is a need. And I know, again, back to the multi-generational households, grandma's not around to watch the baby anytime you want.
Yeah.
Now, it's way harder. It's way harder for people to create the time in their relationship to just be fluid. You know, that's why when you walk into a hotel room, you want to have sex.
Yeah.
There's no responsibility. Responsibility is like the unsexiest word in the human, like in the English language.
Stuff I gotta
you
do.
Know? It's yeah. like, so you walk into a hotel room, you know, you can make a mess you don't have to deal with, right? There's no responsibility. You're like in this vacuum.
Yeah.
You can just kind of be whatever you want to be.
Yeah. It's fun.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's like, you know, why people always joke about hotel sex, because that's what's great. And that's why so many couples that really last a long time will tell you, you just need to go away for the weekend and remember why you got married.
Yeah. 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 That's true.
Because we used to do this thing and it was really fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was really playful and it was really fun.
I just did that with Hill because we went to a wedding. We had a wedding to go to mm-hmm. up in wine country, mm. Solvang, you know.
Love it.
That area. And we wound up going a day early so we could nice. Just have a day and night like of wine tasting and all that yeah. stuff. And we had so much fun.
So cool.
It was such a great adventure. And it was just like one day.
I know, right? And it like it gives you that shared experience and that like that feeling of being whole and playful and connected and all of those things, yeah. right? You know, and it's like, that's in love. That's being in love. You know, one of the things that I've been verbalizing more now because it's become very clear to me is that I think it's helpful to talk about love as a place and not a feeling.
Mm-hmm.
Like when you say I'm in love, we are love in love. And if we can, and when we're around people that remind us of that, that make us feel connected to that,
mm-hmm.
that remind us that we are love, we're in love.
Right.
Right?
Right. It's true.
So when you're in that playful, joyful space, we get into relationships for joy. And then all that joy gets sucked out of it when you get all this massive responsibility of, you know, three kids,
mm-hmm.
right? And jobs and bills and all that shit, right? That's just, and we're supposed to like, we're supposed to get it all taken care of by drinking on Friday and Saturday night.
Yeah.
You know, and then by Sunday, everybody's like, oh, fuck, I got to get, you know, back into that.
You mode. Know what I found out is you can drink the whole week
whole
through.
Week.
Whole time.
That's Todd's answer to this, is to simply drink Monday through Friday.
All the whole.
And be sober on the weekend.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Sober it up on the weekend.
Yeah, there you go. You know, people talk a lot about like, oh, the United States, we only have 2 weeks of vacation, and in Europe they have this. And yes, there is a paradigm that work and productivity is what is most highly valued.
Here, yeah, sure.
Yes. And yet I don't know that we get a whole lot more done than anybody else does, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we have major, you know, depletion and energy depletion and addiction and loneliness, you know? And if we don't create time and space for play
mm-hmm.
and for like really like nurturing that feminine energy, again, not girl-like, just your yin energy that needs to be fluid and playful and receptive and have fun. The funny thing is like the whole reason we choose relationships now is for joy.
Yeah.
And yet for so many people, it's about safety. It becomes about safety. It
oh,
becomes
okay.
about, I have this, I got this relationship, now I'm afraid it's going to go away.
Oh,
right?
I see.
You
yeah.
know, so we have to do all these things to make our life keep working. It's hard to move from a place of love if you don't acknowledge that a lot of what you're doing is fear.
Yeah.
Is in resistance.
Yeah.
Right? So, so, you know, to this guy who feels like he's doing something wrong, it's really loaded because, I mean, I don't know if they had a good sex life before or now or whatever, what that means. But I think it comes down to asking her what she needs and really helping her understand that you want to be there for her. Like that it would make you feel good to take some of that overwhelm away.
Right.
Right? Because it would be good for both of you.
Right.
Right. Because I think what gets lost sometimes is, especially when men are specifically asking for more sex, is what gets lost is, I want to connect with you. That the sex is about connection.
Right.
Too.
Yeah.
It's not just a biological need to get off. I mean, you can handle that yourself.
Right.
Like,
that's true.
But you didn't get married for celibacy. You got married to connect.
Yeah. Exactly.
With your woman.
Yeah, that's true.
So.
Yeah.
Did I answer the question? I'm so chatty today.
Yeah, I'm satisfied.
Are you satisfied?
I'm satisfied with your answer. All right. Can find another question. Yeah, okay. It was really good for me.
All right. Well, that's important to me, you know, because that's a guy question. All right, let's do one more. Mm-mm-mm. I feel like we've been talking forever.
I'm so boring.
I'm just sick of myself.
You have been doing a lot of the talking.
I know. I'm talking today.
Is, yeah, it is. Well, no, but it's your show, so you have to do all the talking.
I know.
I'm just here. I'm a sidekick.
You're just.
It's a great.
You're my Ed McMahon.
It's a great gig. I just laugh at your jokes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have jokes.
Sure.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah.
All right. I am 33, single, and ready for love. I'm not looking for it. Okay, right there. I'm going to call you on your bullshit.
Yeah, why
you are
you
too.
Yeah, why are you writing this
in? Yes, you are. Okay, you're full shit. You're looking for it. Okay, no, sorry. I am 33, single, and ready for love. I'm not looking for it. I love myself. I have all other aspects of my life together, yet I cannot seem to keep a relationship. Boy. She is my target audience.
Yeah,
she
really is.
Every guy leaves me and ends up marrying the next girl. I don't understand what I'm doing wrong. Okay. Okay. No, in all sincerity, the statement I'm not looking for it is part of the problem, because you are looking for it. But what you're doing when you're saying I'm not looking for it is you're in resistance to that. So you have conflicting intention. And so you have to make your intention to find a healthy love relationship stronger than this sort of nonsense of like, I'm not looking for it. And maybe there's some belief there that it should magically happen or magically appear. Like, I have no idea what the, like, your particular personal belief is around it. But I can tell you the general paradigm is I am magically going to meet my perfect soulmate. And then I'll know.
Right.
And then I can be intentional about it. Because if it's not my perfect soulmate, I don't want to get my hopes up.
Yeah, but yeah. That's no way. It's just no way to live.
Well, it's certainly not loving on the edge now, is it?
No, it's not. It is not.
So, okay, so, and I love myself, okay? And I have all other aspects of my life together. And I think that's really important, and I appreciate that you feel good about the other aspects of your life.
Mm-hmm.
That's great. And that's where a lot of women that I work with are in their life. They're like, I got the career, I got this, I'm smart, I've still got viable, like, uterus years left. I'm like this and that.
The old,
you know, like,
viable years.
Well, but that's part of the panic.
Sure,
right?
Sure,
and
yeah,
like,
yeah.
And guys just don't have to deal with that. That's like a reality. You can make a baby anytime you want.
Any old time.
Pretty much, yeah. So, and I think that guys need to kind of respect that as well, as like an understanding that women are going to be a little future-paced in relationships because they're like, I don't want to waste my time because I'm literally burning these years to make a dream come true for myself. Like, it's a big fucking deal. So what I would say is, it's, you know, it's always wonderful to be happy with all those other aspects of your life, but to also know that the reason that you got there in those aspects of your life is because you were intentional. You know, you had a desire to make certain things happen for yourself and you made them happen. And the tendency to say, like, I don't like being single. I hear it all. I actually hear, you know, I hate being single. And then my favorite is, I'm totally fine being single.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's cool. There's no medal at the end of your life for saying, hey, even though you didn't want to be single, you were totally fine being single. And here's your reward.
Right.
So if you want love, go ahead and want it.
Sure.
Like, go ahead and say, I want.
Well, you probably do anyway. You're just talking yourself out of it.
Right. But allow for it. Like, accept it and be in love with that.
Yeah.
Be in love with the fact that you want love and allow yourself that and stop being in resistance to it. That's like literally step number one. Right. And you can take all the stories about being single and how old you are and what your family thinks and why you're single. None of that shit matters. Just decide today, right now, that you're going to give yourself I want love. I want to find a loving relationship and I make no apology for it. And it doesn't matter if I'm okay without it. Of course you're okay without it. You're not going to implode.
Yeah.
You want what you want.
Yeah.
You know? So that, you know, first and foremost, every guy leaving you and ending up marrying the next girl
That could just be a curse. Like she was cursed by a witch or warlock of some kind.
No, oh my God. Well, okay. I guess what that kind of says to me is that you're meeting guys that are looking for a life partner. And that maybe we can look at that as a positive thing. So you actually are attracting people that are, you know, you're not attracting players, right? Mm-hmm. You're attracting mm-hmm. people that like truly want to connect. And so what part of you doesn't want to connect or is afraid to connect or is afraid of that working? Because everything that we experience in our life and in our relationships is some kind of mirror or reflection of what's going on with us. It's like the world is, we're the little, is the macro smaller or the micro smaller? The macro smaller, right? Or the, or the macro to the micro to the, I don't know.
I thought macro was bigger than
micro. Oh, maybe the macro to the micro. I don't know. Anyway, so like our little internal experience is being reflected to us all the time. And it can be like the reverse feeling, or it can be the same feeling, or it can be kind of the reverse, or it can be like what that old voice, aka probably one of your parents, has been saying to you your whole life, you know, little generational belief system pass through. So,
you mean like stop jacking off so much?
Yeah.
Those voices.
Okay. Like I would, okay.
Just kidding.
My brain's moving fast today, but not that fast. Like I had so many jokes run through my head at the same time. I was like, I don't have any. They're all gone. Chandler. Yeah, to Friends. Always back to Friends. Hashtag Friends reference. Yeah. When he goes, too many jokes. I can't say anything. So, so there's something in there around your fear around being in relationship, whether it's about losing it. Or what actually represents love for you, mm-hmm. you know, there, and that's what you have to get clear on, because the good news here is that you're in a good place in life as far as your career goes and your health and all that stuff. And it sounds like, and, you're attracting guys that are interested in connection. So, but there's something about that, that you're pushing away. And so my question for you would be, what part of that scares the shit out of you?
Yeah. She's saying in the email that she's not looking for love. Is she saying that to these guys? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't know. Well, we don't know. My question is like, if you're not looking for her, why do you keep dating guys? And then they leave you. Yeah, but you're right. Because if that is an intention, if that's a conflicting intention within her, it doesn't matter if she's saying it or not.
Right.
She's kind of saying, I don't need you, or I don't need to get attached to you. I'm okay without you, when in fact she might really not be okay without them. That might be the whole terror, is I'm not okay without you and I don't want to get too attached to you.
Right.
So if you're in fear, if you're in relationship in fear instead of in love, then guess what? It doesn't translate as love. So that guy over there, he might be in love with you, but it's not going to last for long because you're in fear with him.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You can't be in both places at the same time.
Yeah,
so if you're pushing away, if you're resisting and you're pushing away, then you're not in love with this person. I'm not saying you don't like him and you don't think he's hot and all that stuff, but you're not in love when you're with him. You're actually in fear, and that doesn't feel like love to the other person. So they're going to go away.
Right.
If what they truly want is love, they could stay in fear with you and you can have a really nice abusive cycle.
That's
good times.
Awful.
Really glad you're not attracting that. Yeah. So that's the good news.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So I think actually, and I know that that's got to be like a horrible story to have. Like, oh my God, like the last three or four guys I dated, like marry the next person.
Yeah.
Wow. That's an intense.
That is intense.
Story. Yeah. You know, to let go of. And
we have a pattern too. It feels like you do start wondering, what is wrong with me?
Well, and I think it's a fair question.
Yeah.
It is a fair question. It's not saying all guys are assholes.
No.
She's not saying that.
No, not at all.
Which is really cool.
Yeah.
You know, she's saying, what am I doing wrong? And it's not necessarily what you're doing wrong. It might be what you're feeling.
Right.
And whether, I mean, we don't even have to put the judgment of wrong on it. But it's whatever you're putting out there is being reflected back to you. And so you have to look at what you're afraid of in that connection and holding that connection. So, because it always comes down to love or fear, and they cannot exist in the same space.
No, I guess not.
I think it's been proven by quantum physics, but I don't know.
Well, one time I went camping with Hillary, and we thought there was a bear outside the tent.
Uh-huh.
And I really loved Hillary, even though I was terrified that there might be a bear outside the tent. So I had love and fear were in the same tent.
But you weren't afraid of Hillary.
No, that's true.
Right.
I was afraid of the bear.
Yeah. But you probably would have been a little bit hard to have sex or really connect in a loving way while you were terrified of the bear.
Yeah, I was not. It's weird how when I think, if I think there's a bear outside my tent, I'm not horny. It's crazy. Because guys are supposed to be horny all the time.
Except when there's bears outside.
But when there are bears.
But no, but really, for real, actually, when you think about it, that's like a survival mechanism, right? Because what if you were horny when there are bears outside? You would die.
I know we should be running from the bears, but we gotta fuck. What? Like, can you imagine? What?
Actually, yes. I can imagine you.
Me doing that. Yeah. We gotta fuck, though.
But the bear. Ah, fuck the bear.
Forget about the bear. There's nothing we can do about the bear. The bear was part of nature. Fucking is nature. We'd do ourselves a favor.
And we're gonna die doing it.
We're gonna be mauled having sex. Come on.
Oh, my God. I don't know. Oh. Let's see.
That's a brand new kink we just came up with. That's new.
Well, okay, but wait. Okay, but some people do get really turned on by the idea of getting caught.
Not by a bear, though.
Oh, by the Macy's lady.
Yeah, by like by security, maybe.
Mall cop.
But not a bear.
That's true.
Yeah.
So maybe just a little bit of fear. Yeah, just a little bit of fear.
The bear is too much.
But I mean, I think there is something to that. There's like, that's not what I'm calling love. That's eroticism. Mm-hmm. That's different.
Yeah.
Eroticism is a different thing.
But the only way I can express love is to have sex in the presence of bears.
Oh, great. Oh, God.
It's a weird thing.
Hillary's going to be like, what did you do to him? I'm sorry. His brain went someplace new, and now you're stuck with it.
David Cronenberg's going to make a movie about it. I'm really excited.
That's awesome. See, yeah. Now that's creative shit. Now you just made your own role. Good for you.
Yeah.
High five on that.
All right. I did it.
Excellent. All right. So, okay. I think that's a good number of questions.
Yeah.
Don't you think? We've been talking forever.
For several minutes.
Several.
Almost 60.
Hours.
Almost 60 minutes.
Hours.
It feels like hours.
It does. Okay, so let me,
So you got to wrap this up? Is that what you're going to do?
I think I'm going to wrap it up.
Your sign off?
I think we're going to sign off and probably going to edit this little part out.
But it makes you seem very human.
I know.
If you edit out the fumbles and the stumbles,
I am
you
so
sound like you want people
human.
To think you're superhuman, though.
No. God, no. Yeah. No.
Well, then don't.
No, and actually, see, okay, there's a point there. There's an important point there.
Okay.
And I will bring my event back up because that's actually part of... thank God, because we haven't talked about it enough. That was actually what gave me kind of the courage and the excitement to do it, was not being superhuman and not being perfect.
Right.
Like, not even necessarily... Like, I mean, I have an outline. I have a general agenda. I am a professional. But... But other than that, like, I really want to see where the conversation goes.
Sure.
You know, like, yeah. I want to have that conversation. That's my favorite conversation to have. And again, the music is also, it's not about like, oh, watch us play this music for you and like be so awesome. It's really about creating something to connect around. And also that kind of music in particular reminds us of the timelessness of matters of the heart.
Right.
It does.
You're talking about Aerosmith, right?
Yeah, Aerosmith, exactly. At least for the petroleum age. I mean, right. Yeah. Like, I can't help you out with, like, I don't know the lyrics to the Renaissance music and the French cave drawing times. I don't know what they were drumming, but I'm sure it had something to do with sex and love.
Most likely.
I'm very sure that it did. It was primal as shit.
People write a lot of music about those things.
They do. And movies and poetry and all kinds of crap.
Yeah.
So we're obsessed with it. So don't tell me you're not looking for it.
You're a liar. Yelling at your laptop.
I'm yelling at her. Stop it. Stop lying to all of us. When will it stop?
Yeah, oh, shit.
Yeah, so that's the whole thing, is like, it's going to be entirely imperfect, and I'm totally not superhuman, and I really want to, you know, for me, being present with hopefully a theater full of people, and having this conversation is really going to, it's really going to be a practice for me in that moment to not go into my fear.
Right.
Right. And to stay in love and to stay in the conversation and to stay present. And I'm excited about it because I think it's going to be a really like fun and interesting day. And I definitely want to be seen as human.
Yeah. You
because
do.
I will fuck up.
Sure. Yeah.
That is going to happen.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah. So join me. Todd, are you going to be there?
Yeah. I'll go.
Sweet. Todd's going to be there. Woohoo. On February 3rd, 2018, that's the day before the Super Bowl, and it's right before Valentine's Day. So come and be intentional about what you want in love. That's, you're gonna, by the end of the day, you're going to know what you need to look for in relationship if you're dating and in the process of like choosing a partner. If you're early in a relationship, you should definitely come because this will help you figure out if you're in the right relationship.
Yes.
Maybe come separately. Just saying. but if you're coupled and you want to know what is it that makes relationships last and what can help us be more than just married, but actually be like spiritual partners that can really both grow in the process and help each other expand and really be partnered, then the possibilities for your relationship are limitless, right?
Right.
When you approach it that way, in the sense of like, how can we both be joyful and be expansive in this relationship and support each other in that, right? And the crazy thing is the principles are all the same, whether you're looking or whether you're already coupled. So I hope that you will join me, and you can find tickets at lovingontheedgeworkshop.com.
Go there.
Go there.
Get your tickets.
So, yes. And where do we find you? Are you on TV right now?
No.
Really?
Not really.
Just progressive commercial.
Progressive commercial.
You're the Worst reruns.
Yeah, you can watch You're the Worst on like FX.
And you'll
Demand
get to see
whatever.
His butt.
And you can see my butt.
Yeah, there you go. That just makes me happy.
I did not make Decider's top 10 list of gratuitous nudity on
you
television.
You didn't?
I did not.
How is that possible?
They overlooked me completely.
You were robbed.
But, you know.
What does the statue look like for that award?
I don't know. Like a big
full
dork.
Frontal?
I have no
idea. All right,
idea.
We're going to find out.
Yeah, let's. I want one.
All right. Well, thank you for listening, everybody.
Thank you.
And thank you for chatting.
Thanks for learning.
Okay, let's do it again soon.
Yes.
Okay. And if you missed that link for workshop tickets, just go to lovingontheedgeworkshop.com and reserve your spot for February 3rd. And I'll see you there. Bye for now.